Triple M Footy is the number one football call on radio. Footy's on the radio. And your front row. Welcome to the Friday Rub for McDonald's Monopoly. Triple M rocks finals footy.
Might be my favourite week of the year, prelim final week. Two cracking games ahead of us tonight at the Triple MCG. It is Geelong and Sydney. And we have got about an hour and 50 minutes before the two teams are out there going hard at it for a spot in the big dance. And tonight we've got the best in the business, I always say it on Friday nights, assembled here, people that have been involved in these games. Duke with the Western Bulldogs, of course, the Chief many times with the Hawks. Juddy with, of course, the West Coast Eagles in that famous era in the mid-2000s. Damien Barrett's here as well. We've got Xavier Campbell to join us shortly to talk about the amazing news surrounding Joe Watson playing on for the Bombers, Reece Shaw and Matty Scarlett, speaking of people that know this time of the year. So your big team's assembled on a Friday night. Juddy, nice to see you, and our permanent fixture on Friday night.
JB, good to be here. The best weekend of football of the year, so very excited to see this game tonight.
Oh, it's and could not be set up better. The weather is perfect. Damo, hello to you.
Hello, Jim. This is the seasoned, hardened sides, isn't it, on the preliminary final fixturing this weekend. We've got the other one tomorrow night, which has got most of the general public's fascination, but this is the teams that have been there and done it before, and I still can't pick it, Jim.
You've been... How many prelims, Chief? You won four premierships, so that's at least four, but what was the tally?
No, it's not... No, because... Back in the old days, you didn't have to go through prelims if you won the qualifying final. You'd go straight into the grand final.
So you skipped most of
the top five. Yes, I didn't play many prelims at all.
Good. Just had the week off and watched everyone punch on.
Ideally, yes. That's the way you want to do it. We had to go through it the hard way once or twice. But I just love the fact we've got two of the genuine heavyweights of the last decade that are going to go at it tonight. And only one's going to get through. It'll be a last man standing affair.
And Duke, seven prelims for the Dogs in the modern era. How many of them did you play?
A couple of them, 97 and 98. That's since 1985, yes. And a club that's only been in two grand finals. So 2 hours away from a third grand final, and an enormous amount of excitement about the opportunity that may bring. So that's tomorrow night. Just off the top, I've been amazed by this final series, and Juddy was the closest out of the game. And I don't know whether the bye week 10 days freshened the players up enough, but the unbelievable ferocity around the football. The way Sydney went at it last week was just kamikaze. I can't remember. Maybe it's the longer you're out of the game, but just how brave the players are in tight seems like it's at an all-time high.
It seems like that watching. I was thinking the same thing, if it's just because I'm no longer in the game or if it has changed in 12 months. But, yeah, certainly the first couple of weeks of finals has been as intense footy as I've ever seen.
And I reckon, I know you hated it, Purple, but I reckon the further out we get from it, the better the bye looks on that exact front. Like the Dogs, for instance, Brad Johnson was talking to us today on the Rush Hour about North having been there the previous 2 years. Certainly the first year when we went to the West Coast for the prelim final, absolutely cooked. The whole team just finished, and you just were hoping that you'd actually be able to put... Sydney, the first one. You're hoping you're actually just going to be able to put your best foot forward and really not embarrass yourselves because you knew that the boys were finished. Whereas this week has enabled the Dogs to get to tomorrow seemingly in much better shape.
They were done and dusted. Had they had to go back to the West 7 days later, it would have been all over. And I think the benefit that I didn't see was just this fresh players in finals feeling good and able to attack the footy with that sort of ferocity is a great thing.
The flip side.
I still have the view, Jim, that it might have happened anyway. And I know what you're saying, Dust, about the particular composition of that Western Bulldogs team in that first final with the injuries they had coming at around 23.
I'm talking about all the teams having a break and then being able to hit a final. Absolutely cherry ripe. But I think there's a massive part of that playing in how good the finals have been.
Yeah, I still think it would happen. But again, it's one of those conversations that is academic, isn't it?
Interesting, though, that what happens from now with the two teams who have, but in effect, played one game in 3 weeks. Does it mean anything, or what do we think?
Well, yeah, personally, I wouldn't want to play one game in 3 weeks. I think 1 week off at this time of year is magic, but 2 out of 3, I don't think it's ideal preparation. So I think what happens over this prelim final weekend will colour if we think it's a good thing for those top four teams who win their first final, and if that bye week's something that we should go forward with.
It's an interesting balancing act, isn't it? We sit here and we say 1 week's fantastic to have off, but 2 weeks is too much.
Yeah.
I mean...
After 23.
You would like to think that things don't fluctuate that much with 1 week off or 2 weeks off or no weeks off. You'd like to think you're prepared to cope with whatever comes your way.
It is just a game of inches this time, though, isn't it? I mean, Hawthorn are one kick away from being playing... on this weekend. Tonight. So but when that, you can get to this stage.
That 1 week / 2 weeks or whatever it is, as we've seen this year, it's worked for the Bullies. Probably works for a couple of teams and doesn't work for others. And we don't get to see the ones that doesn't work. For instance, West Coast Eagles had as good a form as anyone coming in and then dipped out because they had one bad week. Now, if that week wasn't there, they might have beaten the Bulldogs and then carry their good form through, and they might be one of the flag favourites right now. So you don't quite know, do you?
I think it's too small a sample size. But if going forward we think that the top four teams are disadvantaged by having 2 weeks off out of three, I think it would have to come into question. But I agree. For the time being, I think it looks good.
Injured players, Duke, for me, are fascinating in finals, and there's two massive ones tonight. But Gary Rowan is an astounding story. If he plays, we've still got to wait and see it happen. But
he looked done and dusted, didn't he, when he walked off the ground that night last week. But I mean, the thing about it, it did look innocuous. His knee appears to have hit the hip, and the bone bruising can be as sore as any injury, and then it does come good. So I hope he's right. Kurt Tibbett is a worry. He's a worry with hairline fracture in the jaw. And I say this respectfully, he probably is someone that, you think in the past needs a lot of good form to play well, needs a good run at it, and potentially carrying an injury hasn't been something he's done that well, and some players don't. So he's the one that's got a bit of risk about him.
And on top of that facial issue he's got, Darcy, he had a very interrupted back half of the season as well. So he's had no continuity in basically the last 3 months of footy.
They had to play him. I mean, the alternatives that were around, he's just a much more talented player. So I can understand the risk in, Naismith is in, Nankervis goes out, but
I'm not convinced I agree with you, Duke. I just don't think we've been seeing his best on paper's great. We haven't seen that for quite a while. And I reckon to take a risk on someone like that, and let's be brutally honest, Geelong are going to test it out.
Yeah.
He's going to get a whack to the head at some stage, and if that shakes him up and then he becomes a little bit careful about the way he plays, well, that's not going to do Sydney any good.
Does it come down to, Chief, the fact that he is the big signing prior to Buddy Franklin getting there on the big money? Could you possibly contemplate going into a prelim final without that marquee signature?
Well, I think you can if you do it on the basis of fitness and say we want to take in 22 blokes that we know can give everything they've got and come off with nothing left. Now, with him, yes, there's a lot of pressure on him because he's carrying a big money tag, and we know, we've seen glimpses of it, but we've never seen it on a real consistent basis, week in, week out, him being a dominant player. So is he just going to continue to tease, or is this the moment where he actually comes out, plays with injury and plays really well? That might be the best thing that could ever happen for a Kurt Tibbett. But the flip side is, if he has no impact, we're all going to sit here at the end of the game and go, well, that was a waste of time him playing, wasn't it?
I know it's going back a while now, but the 2012 prelim final, which Adelaide lost, he was just about best on ground.
Yep.
And that is going back a long time, I know. He was one of the better players for the Swans in the 2014 losing grand final to Hawthorn. So he has got big game form, but I hear what you're saying, Chief. It hasn't been displayed on a consistent basis.
What about the ins? I want to ask you about this, Chris Judd. For the Cats, Buse comes in, Henderson comes in. How good a footballer is Lachie Henderson? I will put my hand high and say when I saw that they had coughed up a first-round pick for him, I thought that was way too much. But maybe I'm missing something you saw as a teammate of his for a fair while.
No, I think he's a very good player, and I think he's a natural backman. The years or the time where he struggled at Carlton was generally playing up forward in a team that wasn't getting the ball in there a lot. But when he did get to settle down back and play week in, week out, I think he's a really capable player, and I actually think his year this year has been really good. Buse is an interesting one. Mm. One of the bits that makes me a bit nervous about Geelong is their speed in the back line and opposition's ability to hit up leading targets. So I think bringing Buse in with a little bit of leg speed down there will be an important move for them as well.
I wouldn't have minded seeing Geelong be bold and bring in the Kaiakoka.
Yeah.
He's quick. He's bold, he's got skill, he's also strong, he's strong-bodied, and he's not afraid to take a step into a collision either. So I'd love them just to have been bold and said, let's let him loose on the big stage.
Well, Duke, we were down there for the game in round 16, which is now 2 months ago, which is astounding. It feels like yesterday to me. But anyway, the Sydney Swans that night just worked the Geelong defence over. It was brilliant to watch. They had Ted Richards as a defensive forward. They gave Enright and Harry Taylor and Mackie no room to move at all. Basically, they just played defensive forward roles on them for the whole night, and they couldn't cope. They couldn't get it out of there. And then when the midfield battle was won by the Swans, it was all over.
I think from memory, Sydney were coming off a pretty poor loss the week before and one of their worst games for the year. And they went down to Geelong and just dismantled the Cats. It was really impressive. And I'm sure they will be looking at what the tactics were and what worked. I think in a final, you always like to throw something different up again, a different matchup. But there are certain teams that, for whatever reason, I mean, Geelong smacked the Adelaide Crows twice this year.
Yep.
They absolutely belted them and they would have felt really confident. I think tonight there is that element with Geelong that they know this team have had the wood over them.
Well, there's plenty to enjoy. The conditions, by the way, how good, Juddy?
Perfect. Magnificent.
You couldn't arrive at a better day to play in a prelim final, could you? There's virtually no wind. It's been late teens all day.
How good does this ground look, too? I mean, the surface is just out of this world.
Purple, the big story, you spoke about it first on the footy show last night, and we, of course, saw it unfold today. Involved Job Watson, Brownlow medal captain. Certainly has been the captain of the Essendon Footy Club, announcing that he will play footy in 2017.
Yeah, and he did speak today, Jim, after he had one of his training sessions, or before he had one of his training sessions at St Bernard's College here in Essendon, and he just took us behind the scenes as to what he'd been through since January 12 this year and why he needed the extra time to get to the decision he made last night.
I'd leant either way for a long time, and, I'd had moments. Certainly when I left, I didn't think I'd be coming back.
So, Job Watson today, and expanded a bit on what he's been doing in his time away. And the interest surrounds now whether he will be the captain of the Essendon Footy Club going forward. We've got the CEO of the Bombers, Xavier Campbell, on the line now. Xavier, welcome to Triple M Footy.
Thanks for having me.
Maybe you can shed some light on that. What is the expectation around the leadership roles at the Bombers going forward now that Job said he's playing?
Yeah, obviously it's great news for the football club to have Job come back into the fold. He was the last of those players to recommit, so really important for us. Like in a year, we'll have a process that John will run with the leadership group, with the total playing group, and they'll identify the leadership group and in turn the captain, and that's something that those guys will take care of in due course.
So you don't have any, and I agree with you, by the way, I think it's absolutely brilliant, and we need to say that off the top. Has he given you any indication as to whether he wants to resume as the captain or be in the leadership group even?
No, we haven't spoken about that at all. And then, I'm the CEO of the business, and the football side of it will be John and Rob Kerr, and they'll run that. But I think for now, Job's focus is getting back to the footy club and obviously preparing for a big 2017.
So, Xavier, everyone's had an opinion on what's happened over the past 4 years. I think you know where mine is on a lot of matters. But you set out as a footy club to re-sign these 12 people in a very strong stance that you made from the outset. And you got them pretty much all across the line except for one, basically. The big one, the most emotional one, was the one you secured officially last night. How pleasing was it for you personally to set out to do that and then to basically deliver on just about all aspects of it?
Yeah, no, I guess it has been on reflection. You sort of only now is it really start to feel like we're moving toward closure, with what has been, a really long and elongated matter. I think there's a lot of people that have played a part in helping bring this together. But at the end of the day, the strength of the relationship amongst that group of players was really the most critical factor, realistically. So as much as it was good for them to see, sitting from afar away, to see John and the playing group this year and the progress that they made, obviously it was a challenging year for them to see younger players playing well, to probably hear a bit about the improvements that we've been trying to make as a football club to move forward. They all played a part, I'm sure, but realistically, I just think the strength of the relationship and the resolve of that group was a really important factor.
And with the specifics of Joe Watson, were you prepared to let him go into and even beyond the duration of the October 31 period to let him sort himself out? Was that part of your discussions? Because he was contracted, unlike some of the players, he was contracted to next year regardless. But were you going to let that play out in an unknown fashion if it had to come to that?
We probably were. I mean, there was some dislodgement deadlines and things like that, which I couldn't even tell you off the top of my head what they are. Obviously, they start to get to the pointy end around late October, early November. But, we sort of made that point really early, and we made it very clear to those players that we were prepared to give them as much time as they needed to come to a realisation conclusion where they felt comfortable in saying yes or no. And that was either way. And even today, knowing Joe had made a decision sort of around lunchtime late yesterday, was either way it was going to be, he's going to be comfortable with that position because he'd put in such a strong process to get to that get to that resolution, and that was going to mean it was going to be happy with that decision, and that was for all of them really, and we've been fortunate enough that they, you know, the majority of them, and obviously with the exception of Hibbo and Pearcey, will be coming back to the football club next year. So you know, it's really important for us as we look to continue the rebuild.
So if you want to talk to you about Michael Hibbert, given he's indicated he'd like a deal be done to get to Melbourne, do you, given what's transpired, do you need to allow or afford a little more leniency, if you like, to the players wanting to go as opposed to being hard-nosed in making the deals that you would normally make?
I think that's probably right. I mean, it's a challenging period for Michael and has been for all of them, but you know, he said, and we made it really clear early, that we didn't want to stand in his way. And if he didn't feel like coming back to Essendon was his best option to continue his football career, then we would support him to get to that position. It doesn't mean that we do a ridiculous deal where we're not getting close to market rate. Obviously, that's really important for his teammates, for the club more broadly, because you know, getting that value back is important. But you know, for Michael, you know, he's made a decision not necessarily related to the issues of the past, but for him, and he was really transparent and honest when he called myself and called John and gave us the reason for wanting to move. It was about him feeling that his career in some respects had stagnated, and he wanted to try and challenge that and put himself in an environment that would do that. And you know, that's, he goes with our blessing, and he's a fantastic person. We love working with him. We'll keep a strong relationship with him, but we'll support him to get that outcome that he wants to get with Melbourne.
Hearing the voices, Xavier Campbell, CEO of the Bombers. How far can you go next year, Xavier? It feels like there's an interesting platform. You've got the number one draft pick, number one pick in the preseason draft. You've got great game time into Darcy Parrish and McDonald, Tibb and Woody. And now you get that massive group of players back. Is finals a genuine option for you in 2017?
I think every footy club is trying to really challenge for finals, because that's what finals footy is all about, is playing finals. For us, I think we've got just an enormous amount of hard work in front of us. Sounds a bit cliche, but that's the reality. We're bringing in a group of players that have missed a big chunk of football, and there's a lot of unknowns about how that looks. Obviously, last year with a full continue, we struggled last year on field. So we've got an enormous amount of work in us, but obviously what has been positive is the development and fast-tracking the development of the younger players that John and the other coaches have been able to do this year. So I think we've got a big opportunity in front of us, but only if we work really, really hard to maximise that.
And Xavier, just in terms of revenue and costs, I imagine the last few years would have been really costly from a legal sense. How have you managed to balance it up with the footy budgets and what you've been able to spend in your footy department? Has it had any impact in that area?
Yeah, I wouldn't say we're balancing it. We're going to cop a pretty big hit this year. And a lot of that relates to unique one-off costs associated with the CAS decision that was delivered in January this year. So our priority has been to continue to invest in football, because you know, there is a clear correlation around what you invest in football and ensuring you have progress and create progress and momentum in your football program. So we have ensured that remained a priority for us. But you know, clearly as a business, we've had to be much more prudent than we had in the past. You know, we have reduced headcount across our business. We have reduced any wastage and try to create real efficiencies in our business. But we will cop a big hit this year, and we'll have to work really, really hard to ensure we rebound quickly. But we're, you know, as a footy club, the passion, the loyalty of our supporter base, and to have, you know, 57,500 members is such an important part about helping us in that rebuild. So, you know, we're very fortunate in that respect.
Xavier, will Joe Watson hang on to the Brownlow medal?
I mean, it's a discussion in due course. It's a hypothetical at this point in time. You know, we as a football club, and without getting into the specifics around the reasons why, you know, knowing Joe, knowing the person, knowing the circumstances, you know, I think he should. But in due course, and right now he's a Brownlow medalist, in due course, if it gets to that point, there'll be a process, and we'll support Joe in that process.
Well, will you be a driver of it, though, as a club? I mean, you obviously lobby the AFL and get on the front foot, or do you leave it to him? What is the process?
No, we work closely with his management. If it gets to that point, we would work closely with his management. It would be led by Joe and his management more than anything. But as I said, it's a hypothetical. We'll cross that bridge if we need to in due course.
All right, great result today for your footy club, and you must be really pleased with that, and a great launching pad into the pre-season in 2017.
Yeah, thanks very much. Have a good call.
Xavier Campbell, the CEO of the Essendon Footy Club. No late changes, by the way, the game here. So teams as named in both instances. Just watching our Triple M Chemist Warehouse replay screen, I love this, Duke, because they had the vision of the prelim final between the Swans and the Cats at the SCG, I think it was. I'm not sure what year that
was.
I can't
quite remember the year.
I think it was back to... I'm not sure it was a final, Jim, or what it was. I reckon it was back to 97 or 8, because Shannon Grant was playing for the Swans in the game you're referring to.
Okay. One of the reasons I love it is because this man was a very fine footballer, so don't get me wrong, but there were quite often games where Geelong had 17 players playing out there because Bill Brown was unsighted. And I just watched every single highlight of that. Did not get within 15 metres of the ball, Duke.
Wasn't seen a lot there, Bill, I have to admit.
Not once did he touch it in the whole bit of vision we saw.
Creating a lot of space for Gaz, Jim.
This is a bloke who, by the way, kicked 9 in a final and 8 in a final and kicked a lot of goals in finals. So we not putting too much SH1T on him, the big bustling Billy Brownless. But he did have games, Duke, where, seriously, he was a statue. He was a witch's hat.
The gap between his best and his worst, Bill, was probably some length. And just on our Chemist Warehouse replays, going the freeze screen.
Don't go there.
The most goals in a final. Chief quickly leant over and point two.
He wanted to point it out.
Did you see me there?
Duke, put your hand on your heart and say that I leant over and pointed
it
out.
He wanted it pointed out.
Your presence was guiding us.
Swearing on the life of your kid.
Desperate for it to be brought.
You don't need to point for us to know that you're... And look at him. He's rocked back in his chair.
Happy now.
Look at me.
It's like everyone's aware.
Gordon, hang on a minute. You just told a blatant lie that I pointed to something that was on the TV. Now you're trying to pop me for sitting back. You can't have it both ways, Jake.
He loves
just
it,
a nice level of comfort. That's it.
Unbelievable.
Gordon, commentary had you covered, Chief, in finals goals.
Yeah. He's got everyone covered by a margin, too.
That 87 grand final really cost you, didn't it?
It did, Chief. It did. Imagine if you played in that and kicked a nice bag of six.
Yeah. What do you mean, if? Come on, Jim.
This is why he's a September master.
He is, isn't he?
Just up he comes and gets a nice little sort of whiff about him, the Chief. Alir is down there with the white beats on his head. What about the week he's had?
It's been big. He's been the subject of plenty of conversations, plenty of talk, plenty of media. The Prime Minister of Australia has spoken about him, addressing the United Nations. So it's a big week for the young man, isn't it, to cope with all of that and then come out and put in a big performance tonight.
Well, he's just doing some stretching down there with a few of his mates. And
looks the goods.
Oh, yeah, doesn't he, Justin?
Played 12 games of footy. It's quite extraordinary.
He takes risks.
The role he's got tonight and the way he's played in the past 2 months is quite extraordinary for someone who has not got many games behind him.
Magic Door just parked down in Arden Street wondering whether the Prime Minister's aware there's actually been a Sudanese player on an AFL list for 6 years.
I don't think the Prime Minister would have known Alir until the speechwriter put that in front of Malcolm, and so this is a good look.
He's an exciting player, though, this bloke. That's what you love. He's a risk-taker out of the back
half. As Juddy was about to say, he does do that well, doesn't he? He takes the game on from back there.
Yeah, I mean, he goes for his marks, but then he's just got the courage to take them on with his leg speed and come up the middle, which is been amazing to watch. You wonder if at this time of year that might come unstuck at some stage, but certainly last week he was instrumental, and it's terrific to watch.
Does it come unstuck, Chief, more than it creates for you, though? I absolutely love it. Glenn Archer, when he played for us, I don't think he heard a word a coach ever said to him, Arch. He basically just did, once he got out there, he did the most instinctive thing that was in front of him, especially with ball in hand. Sometimes it didn't work, but so many times you created a scoring opportunity out of it. I love it.
Yeah, every player is different, though, Jim. Some think too much, some don't think enough, some react well to pressure, react well to publicity, and some go into their shell. So I think tonight will tell us a lot about him, though, after the week that he's had. If he can put in a good performance tonight, he just looks like a player that's got a massive future.
See, what's brilliant is that, you know, having two Sudanese players with Sudanese background in the AFL, and given the growing Sudanese community, you would think that the chance of farming some talent out of the extraordinary athletes that they are.
Yep.
And, you know, you look at Magic Door and his shape, and Alir's athleticism is as good as anyone we've seen in recent times.
It's almost exciting. Like looking in a mirror when I look at Magic and Alir, just the rig the same.
That's it. Oh, I say that regularly to Madge. Especially one bit about him, I think it's almost like for like. Like for like, Chief, is where I think it sits. Just finishing on Joe Watson, because we do need to move on to other things. I don't know, straw poll around the room. I think it's absolutely brilliant that he's playing footy again. It would have been very sad for me to see this ripping bloke apart from anything else, go out on that note.
I would have been staggered if he gave it away and ended on that note. When he came back, as ripped as he was, it was a pretty good indication that he was right to go. And I hope he captains next year, I think.
You hope he captains?
Yeah, I do.
See, I'm the opposite to that.
Yeah. I almost hoped that he'd come back and play a couple of years for another club and just drop the whole load and just go and play football somewhere else. Oh, okay. So no one talked about anything except the football that he's playing at that club, because he had to carry the can for so long at that footy club. I just thought maybe he could just unhitch the trailer, leave it behind and just go and have fun somewhere else for a couple of years. But look, I understand the loyalty of the club, and Essendon supporters out there probably saying, don't be a dickhead, you know, he's an Essendon man, and he is, and it's great. So I'm thrilled that he's back playing. I don't think he needs to be captain next year, though.
Why do you, Duke? Because I'm the same. I think Dyson Hepp will take over and be mentored by Joe, would be absolutely perfect.
I just think he's an unbelievable natural leader, and you forgot what he did through some of those pressures. There was a game in Fremantle when the story came out about that drug, anti-obesity drug, and he got booed from the moment, and he single-handedly got that side over the line. And I think, you know, every time I've seen an image of him away, it's been him as the driver of getting that group of players together and him, you know, burning up the track. And I think if you've got a natural leader, you don't ship them off earlier than is required. I think there's a lot of time for Dyson Heppel to do it. I think he appears to be the most natural leader there. And, you know, why wouldn't you do it again?
Hang on a minute, Duke. Is there an anti-obesity drug?
Yeah.
you missed that, Chief, did you?
What is it?
Well, that's the Holy Grail, Chief, isn't it? That...
How does one appropriate some of this?
Well, you can have it, Chief.
It's not illegal.
You can, and it gets you nice and tanned, and even gets you
that was something
ready
else
to
then,
go.
Chief. That was the
ready to go in what way?
Exorelin, wasn't it?
Ready just to enjoy yourself, Chief. So there's lots of stuff there that's got your name written all over it.
Does it have a name, Jim?
I'm not sure.
Yeah,
you're asking the wrong man.
AOD 9604. That was a famous one, or infamous one.
Is that
one.
An anti-obesity drug?
Hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And Juddy's got a nice bronze look about him these days too, so questions got to be asked there.
Does it make your hair grow back, JB? That's the big question.
Or your thoughts on Joe Watson being the captain of the club next year?
Look, certainly agree with you. I think it's terrific he's come back. I think there'll be a full stop on the whole saga pretty soon. I'm glad it's not a full stop on his career. I think it really depends on where his head's at. I know personally, once I got to his age, it was great for me to free myself up and just go back to playing footy and enjoying footy and handing it over to a younger guy. But I think it's different for everyone, and it really depends where his head sits.
Yeah, Daddy, the full stop reference, I don't see it being allowed to be put into the play until the Brownlow medal situation is delved into and decided. And then, again, it's as simple, in my eyes, as this. If they lose the Swiss court decision, which is going to come down possibly before Christmas, maybe after Christmas, but sometime before the next season starts, if they lose it, I just cannot see a way that he can retain that Brownlow medal. We just heard when Jim asked Xavier Campbell, though, that what they would do, and you clearly get the sense, and we know this to be the case even without Xavier Campbell answering that question tonight, that they are going to be doing everything they can to try and fight for him to keep it regardless. But I just don't see how, under the laws of the sport as they stand, that he can be allowed to retain.
So will it be a commission decision, or will he be sort of half forced to relinquish it?
Yeah, that's already been dealt with to a point. They've already got him, or they have asked him to present. They've you know, asked other people around the situation close to it as well to also submit some form of you know, documentation and what should happen around it, Jim.
But why is it so clear-cut then, Dame? I know Juddy expressed that opinion the other day as well, but if it's a commission decision, it's their discretion and they get the chance to weigh it up on the balance of everything. So, look, I would assume that it's not as clear-cut as that.
But, Darcy, if they've been forced to miss a year of their sporting lives on the back of what, whether we like to agree with this or not, on the back of a breach under the code and the drugs provisions of the sport itself, any achievements within the time frame in question have to be removed. I mean, it's just... Look, the simplest way of looking at it, the way I look at it, is that it's the gold medalist from an Olympic Games who's had the gold medal taken off him or her on the back of a subsequently discovered drugs breach.
Isn't there always a positive test in those examples with the gold medalist?
Not with Lance Armstrong.
No, not always, no.
Yeah.
I mean, Lance Armstrong didn't, and he's lost all his...
But he's admitted to guilt, though, hasn't he, Lance Armstrong?
Not when he got stripped of those titles, he hadn't.
I get the impression, Warrior, that... Whilst the AFL would love Job to go back and hand it in, I don't think he's going to make it easy for
him. No, he's not. Otherwise, he would have done it probably already. Yeah. And he's not. And you're right.
So
and
they're going to have to actually come out and make the decision themselves.
So you think they don't want to do it either.
Do you honestly think the AFL are hoping that he comes in and coughs it up? Is that really?
Yeah. Well, they put that
good
to him.
That.
You couldn't see that happening. No, he's not going to do that. And he's been told by people that he values opinions around him, management, to not do that.
And I don't think he should have to do that.
Yeah, it's up to the commission itself to remove it from him. But again, I'm big on them making decisions, and I think they don't make enough. But on this one, I understand why they're waiting the Swiss court decision before they do make their ultimate decision.
Interesting looking at the Cats, Duke. They do this now every time I see them play, and that's walk out in the middle with the full team and coaching staff and stand somewhere out on the ground and have this huddle. It's not always Chris Scott, the ones I've seen speaking, but it certainly is tonight.
Yeah, all standing around in a circle, whole team, officials, and it is Chris Scott with, a real, looks like an emotive message and some instructions. So, yeah, out in the middle of the ground, and it's a bit of a statement in it because the other Sydney Swans, they're wandering around having a kick of the footy, casual kick of the footy, so there's a little bit of statement
always
in that.
Always amazes me, and footy's your domain, you three, of course, having been players, always amazes me in cricket why you spend 45 minutes or 40 minutes in a lunch break and then walk out on the ground and stand around and huddle and speak about something. What the hell have you been doing in the dressing rooms in the previous half hour's got me buggered? Why wouldn't you do this in the rooms?
For a bit of statement. For a bit
that's
of,
what
we're
it
out
is,
here.
So just a public statement?
This is the ground that we're going to go to war on in a moment. And, let's look each other in the eye. A bit of that.
Head to the EssendonFC, by the way, .com.au. EssendonFC.com.au to buy a 2017 membership. They've done a great job to get all their players back, or pretty much all of them. And it's an exciting 2017 now, especially with Joe Watson recommitted. So EssendonFC.com.au. Make sure you buy a 2017 membership. Damo, I want to talk to you about some players who are being touted as being on the move. And Jesse Hogan, the talk around him just continues to grow and grow and grow. Would they get 2 first-round picks for him? Would he get to a club in Perth because that's where he's from? Does he even want that to happen?
Jim, it's an intriguing one because of the contractual arrangements he's already got for Melbourne into 2017. We spoke with his manager, Tom Petrullo, or Tom Petrullo being the head of the management group which manages him. And he couldn't absolutely commit to him being at Melbourne in round 1, 2017. He didn't say he wasn't going to be, but you just know there's something going on. We've said before, and we're not going to delve into it, there are private, personal, family reasons. He wants to spend time in Perth, which is where I believe he is at the moment.
But is that footy playing time in 2017, or is that holiday time?
It's holiday time right now, but there were occasions, plural, during the year, within weeks, and as we know, it's a pretty big trip for a footballer to make to Perth when you're living in Melbourne between matches, and that happened on, as I said, more than one occasion that we know of, and maybe a whole lot more than that. So there's that issue too. And what has also emerged too, Jim, is the fact that the two Perth clubs are well aware of this situation and have made pitches to his management. Yep. I've got a feeling Simon Goodwin does want an answer. I don't think he's going to make that public, and nor should he have to, but I've got a feeling he wants to go into his first year as coach without the unknown around Jesse Hogan, and I think that's where he's angling toward, and I really expect this to get a resolution in some form, and the resolution may be that Jesse does recommit to the Demons at that same stage, but I'm not feeling that is going to happen soon.
We might get back to chat about that because Matty Scarlett has jumped on a microphone at the top of the Cats race, 3-time premiership superstar defender for Geelong, and they're back in a prelim final tonight, which is very exciting for everyone attached to the footy club. Scarlo, welcome.
How are you guys?
How's the build-up been, mate? You're an old hand at these nights. What are you sensing?
Yeah, we've had a pretty good preparation, mate. Obviously, the couple of weeks off has been a bit different, but we think we've prepared really well over those last couple of weeks, and our boys are ready to go. No excuses tonight. We're feeling good and confident.
Matty, how much talk has been about what happened down at Simmons Stadium back in round 16 or whatever it was, and how different everything is since that day in terms of the team makeup and the style of football being played?
Yeah, a little bit of talk, mate. Obviously, we review it and we look back on that game, but we had a stinker, to be honest, in that game. If we had played really well that game and walked away losing by that margin, you'd be a little bit concerned, but all areas of the game, we were smashed last time. Our midfield obliterated, our forward line didn't really compete, and we didn't defend well, so we're very confident we can turn things around tonight.
And Matty, Cam Guthrie is a player who, when I watch you guys, he looks really good in defence and gives you a bit of leg speed down there, but he looks pretty valuable for you in the midfield as well. Where do you feel he's best suited?
I think in both parts of the ground, mate. I don't think yet he's a full-time midfielder. He will get to that stage later on in his career, but he's terrific down back and he'll start down there tonight and head into the midfield, possibly in the second half. But at this stage, yeah, a bit of both, mate. He's had a fantastic year.
Scalo, we're just watching you in the middle of the MCG, and it was Chris Scott with a fairly lengthy address, every player around the circle. Can you give us a bit of an insight into what that was all about?
Oh, just to reinforce the messages that we've spoken about throughout the week, mate, just some of our key focus areas. Make sure the boys remember from our last meeting a couple of days ago. So we've done that every game this year. So, yeah, no different tonight.
Matty, you played in a hard era and you're one of the very hard men in the Geelong team. When you came up against opponents, as your team will tonight, who are under injury clouds like a Tippett and a Rowan, what would you be expecting to happen to those guys tonight from a Geelong perspective?
I know what I would have done a few years ago, but it's probably a little bit different now. You can't really get away with too much. Obviously, those guys are fit to play, and I'm glad they're playing. They're both really good players, and, yeah, you can't really get away with too much these days. So hopefully they get out there and play well, those guys. But our guys are really looking forward to just the challenge. Obviously, we rate Sydney as a fantastic footy club. Enormous respect for the way they go about it.
Have you discussed that as a group, as to what you obviously can do within the rules with those two individuals?
I think it's just going to be a really hard game, mate, full stop. Whoever gets a footy is going to be under the pump. It doesn't matter who it is. So, yeah, looking forward to the start. It's going to be fierce early and obviously a battle of the midfields, their midfield and our midfield. I think the two best in the competition. So whoever gets the upper hand in there is probably going to have a good night.
Plenty written about Buddy Franklin during the week and the matchup more than likely with Tom Lonergan. You must love having someone like Tom Lonergan in the back six. And whilst he's not in the same rarefied air as you, he has a lot of similar traits in that he just goes out and gets the job done with a minimum of fuss week in, week out.
Yeah, we're very lucky to have him, mate. He's had a fantastic year and most weeks, or nearly every week in match committee, we just chuck his magnet up at fullback and have great confidence that he's going to be able to negate and nullify the opposition's best forwards. And he's done that all year for us. So massive role for him tonight, but he's going to rely on that midfield pressure and obviously the other defenders to help him out. So massive job for him. Buddy's a superstar in the top couple of players of the competition. So big job for Tom.
And you're one of the best teams for contested marks this year. Is that an area you feel you can potentially exploit Sydney?
Oh, look, we hope so. We've got a couple of good tall targets up forward, but they've also had the best defence this year and don't get a lot of marks taken on them inside their defensive 50. So we hope couple of our talls can have good nights. Obviously, Tommy Hawkins is in super form. He just got going just before the finals. Now he's in red hot form. Lockie Henderson will be up forward tonight. Reece Stanley can go down there and take a mark, and Zach Smith as well. So we hope we can clunk a few marks tonight, but we really rate their defensive back six or seven. They've had an outstanding year.
Matty, have you rated Mark Butsav's form throughout the course of 2016, coming off the best and fairest that he secured last year?
Oh, look, mate, Blitz does a lot of, as you guys know, a lot of running. He's probably hasn't had the year that he had last year as far as impact on games, but the dirty work, I guess, that he does covering for his teammates with his athleticism and running, it's just unbelievable.
Scalo, quick one before we let you go. Scotty Selwood feels like he's had a massive impact in the last handful of games he's played. Have you seen him adapting to this side?
Yeah, pretty good, mate. It's obviously having another Selwood in the team, just a competitive, ruthless mongrel he is. So he'll have a couple of roles tonight, and I'm sure he'll get under the skin of a couple of their midfields. Yeah, he's fitted in really well. Obviously had a slow start getting back from his ankle injury, but he's a super guy, high character, and we expect him to play well tonight.
Always good to us, Scalo. Thanks for that. Good luck.
See you guys. Thank you.
Matty Scarlett, one of the coaching staff at the Geelong Footy Club. Henderson Ford interests
me. It was interesting. Gave a bit away, didn't it, too? Guthrie down back. Henderson Ford.
You reckon they're going to be happy with him?
I know the bloke next door wouldn't be happy if you were giving that away pre-game.
Yeah, that might have just slipped out.
Do you know what I love about Matty Scarlett? I don't think he knows no other way apart from to tell exactly what's on his mind. He can't hold anything back. That's why he didn't hear a lot from him as a player. Yep. And it's all truth that he speaks. But that is very interesting, isn't it?
His exit from football, for mine, one of the greats ever. He just walked off the ground after his last game. Probably could have played another two seasons.
walked off the ground with not one scintilla of fanfare, and then sent the club an email 3 days later to say, that's it, I'm finished.
I've had enough.
All time for mine. You cannot exit the game better than that. He is a genius, Matty Scarlett, and he may have just told us a bit. So Henderson Ford is interesting. They looked like we spoke about it earlier, Juddy. They were very, very keen to bring him back in. I didn't necessarily think he'd play in that part of the ground.
No, and I guess that's the issue you get with their back line is he's such a good drop-off defender, as is Mackie, as is Enright, as is Lonergan, as is Taylor. But you get a lot of the same if he goes back there. So interesting to have him up forward again. And they're going to be pretty tall up forward.
They are a bit light on, though, aren't they, with Mills out and you know, their defence is suddenly looking a little bit less steady than it has done before. So he probably gets, a Harry Marsh potentially, or a Laidlaw, you might think he'd get hold of tonight. So you can understand why that move has taken place.
We get down now to the boundary. The Sydney Swans have been good enough to get Rhys Shaw on the line to speak to us, a development coach at the Swannies, but also a former star, of course. Rhysy, welcome.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, mate, a little nervous. How's the room and the vibe and the whole feeling of it all?
Yeah, look, it's a great time to be down here at the MCG tonight against the Cats, and the boys are ready to go. I think it's a really good feeling. We've played some pretty good footy last week, and looking forward to it this week.
Mate, I know the last time you played the Cats was 2 months ago, but it was strategically important, I reckon, the way you went about it. You put a lot of time into the defensive half of the Cats and made sure they couldn't exit the ball cleanly out of there. And I think one contested footy pretty well that night as well and got the chocolates. You've got to expect an adjustment from Chris Scott tonight, I would have thought.
Yeah, I'd suggest so. I think it's really important, though, that we go about it the same way we did down there at Skills Stadium. If we can get in their face early and put the pressure on them, put them on the back foot, it should put us in good stead for the rest of the game.
Hey, Rhys, the area of the ground that you know as well as anyone in defence at halfback, you lost a couple of your guns in Jared McVeigh, the captain, and also a serious injury back there as well to a name I've forgotten.
Callum Mills,
who's a star, just jumped out of it. So Alir, a big role for him, and also Harry Marsh, two players that have got a total of 18 games between them. It means an enormous amount of responsibility for those two tonight.
Yeah, it's really important that they stand up in the absence of those two guys. I think we'll have a few guys rotating through there. Like Zach Jones has come in and he provides a lot of bounce from the half-back line, and we're looking forward to that tonight because they're going to have to stand up and move the ball really sharp.
Rhys, everyone knows that the Cats have a heavy reliance on Dangerfield and Selwood in the middle of the ground. Now, it's one thing to know that. It's another to actually stop it. Do you attack them as a group in the midfield, or is there some specific individuals given jobs?
No, I think we'll just go about it the way we normally do, and that's provide plenty of toughness inside with a number of players. I think we've got a group that goes pretty deep in that regard. I think we've got 7 or 8 players that can go through the midfield, and we'll probably test Geelong's depth if we can.
Rhys, just as development coach of the Swans, are you able to sit back? And I know you've got more things to worry about than this right now, but are you able to take some fair degree of satisfaction out of what's happened with this list this year? You've got yourselves through to a preliminary final on the back of a lot of effort and a lot of input from lesser lights, such as the man Das mentioned a few moments ago, Alir, Tom Papley, and others.
Yeah, it's a great sign for the club heading into the future. I think we've had 7 debutants, which is the equal most for the year out of any AFL club, and we finished on top of the ladder, so it's really pleasing in that regard, but the job's not done yet, and these kids are going to have to stand up in some really high pressure footy tonight, and I'm looking forward to seeing them do that, and it's a real tick for the development of the footy club.
Rhys, what have you sold those kids by way of hope and dreams? Because when you do, as you say, introduce 7 footballers to a team, it's unusual for that team to then finish top of the ladder and go into a preliminary final at the very least. How have you managed to convince them that they're ready to go right from the outset?
Well, a lot of these guys have played 1, maybe 2. Alir, in his case, has played 3 years of footy. And at the Sydney Swans, sometimes it can be a slow progression because we've got such a talented team, but these guys have learnt the right way to go about footy, and guys like Tommy Papley have come in and bought in straight away, and that's the most important thing, and they've gone about it in a good way and played some really good footy and held their spot in the side, and they deserve to be here tonight, and I'm really looking forward, as I said before, to seeing them play.
And Rhys, some of you more inexperienced guys aren't actually that young. I think Xavier Richards is 23 and Alir is 22. What stage do those guys make their way out of your development program and in with the senior group?
Yeah, we've got a development group from 1 to 3 year players, and then they I let go into the full list, and they're out of our hands. But those guys have played some really good footy. Like Alir's been sensational. He's taken a real step over pre-season, and the back half of the year, all his work's starting to pay off. So it's fantastic to see. And those guys, hopefully, can get the job done.
Big test for Kurt Tibbett, Rhys. We know that players are courageous. They carry injuries. They put their bodies on the line. But you've just got to think there'll be a few nerves the first time he gets crunched in a tackle or a big pack and he gets a whack to the head. It could shake him up a bit.
Yeah, look, certainly. Everyone knows about Kurt's jaw and his injury. And it's been a fantastic effort for him to get back this quickly. And he trained the house down this week. And it's going to be up to him. He knows he's going to be targeted. We spoke about it, and he's ready for that challenge, and I know he's going to play some really good footy and really important footy for us tonight, because it's a really important role, that ruck forward role.
How well's your brother gone, Rhys? Back-to-back All-Australians, he's into a prelim final. He'd be jumping out of his skin, I'm assuming, with what's coming up ahead tomorrow night.
Yeah, look, he's going really well. You can just ask him. he's played some really good footy, two-time All-Australian, and he's carried that group of players, that group of young players this year and the last couple of years, and now they're in a spot where they're really challenging and in the last four teams in the AFL season, and looking forward to a grand final berth if they possibly can. But it's going to be a cracking game tomorrow night. I'm going out there, and hopefully they can get across the line for Heath's sake.
Everyone carries on about the six-day break. I think it's overplayed at times. You just really freshen things up, a really light skills week, and most of the players would just be cherry ripe, ready to go, surely.
Yeah, Chief, I totally agree. I think it is overrated. Six-day break, it's enough time to get over the last game. And sometimes, especially this time of the year, you just want to get back into it. And yep. We're right to go and looking forward to it.
Are we as listed, Reesey? Nothing happening late by way of blokes coming out or in?
No, that's it, mate. All done.
All right. Now, I know you're a massive fan of Triple M footy and have been for a very, very long time. BT, your favourite caller and all the rest of it. Are you able to access any of it up there, or you have to listen to some of the local rubbish?
No, every time I get a chance, I'm on Triple M. It's still good to hear the boys go about it on the weekends.
Good boy. Well, good luck tonight. Huge for your footy club. Thanks very much for jumping on, mate. We really appreciate it.
Thanks, JB.
Thanks, Rich.
Got the Wolfpack assembled, of course, and been a bit critical of us being serious. Well, it is a prelim final, so we probably do need to straighten up a touch. But also, Chief has refused to come through with a ship off. So I think this is a season first.
I'm assuming he's unwell or he's been bedridden for the week.
It has been a very, very busy week. And unlike yourself, Jim.
I don't think you've ever had a busy week.
Are you kidding me?
What does a busy week for you look like,
Jeff?
Yeah,
exactly.
So on top of having a busy week, I also had my beautiful mother down with me. And unlike when your mum came down, you left the key out for her and said, don't wake me when you get here.
Santa driver.
You did say that to her, Jim.
Yeah. I actually picked up my mother and then also took her to the airport this afternoon.
Right. So that then cost you the ship
then
off.
Then got caught in traffic, and then because Juddy took the car park pass again after not using it last week,
yes.
I then had to walk here.
Well, that gives you a lot of thinking time for a ship off,
Chief. It does. And Malcolm Turnbull was at the top of the list, but I just didn't have enough time to put something together, Jim. I'm sorry.
The ankle's not playing off up, is it, Chief?
The ankle?
The walk here didn't stir up the old ankle injuries from the late 80s?
He's taking the one piss you missed.
I know he is. and you know what? It'll be returned tenfold.
You
did use the ticket this week, didn't you?
I did use the ticket, yes. Very successfully. So thank you, Chief. I appreciate you giving that up to
I didn't give it up.
When Chief was made aware that he wasn't going to get the blue ticket on Wednesday during the week, we were in there for the Wednesday rub, Jim. Fair to say he didn't perform all that well in the Wednesday rub back of the news being delivered.
I rang our esteemed boss of football and he went blah, 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 and tried to explain exactly why I didn't get one. And then blah, 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 blah. We got all sorts of issues here that other people have to get them. So I said, he can ship off too.
I did hear
you ship the boss off?
Yep.
I did hear the producers saying the world's your gym, and maybe it'd be good for Chief to do a little bit of walking, which I thought was hurtful.
That's fair. Yeah. I'll tell you what else I could do for exercise, a bit of stomping. I'm not averse to a bit of Balmain folk dancing, Juddy, so I'd be very careful about you, my friend.
So how is it though that Juddy is the latest in the box and he's got the pass over you two weeks in a row? Yeah. How do you?
Well, I made that. Seriously, I made Lee aware of that, and he went hop, 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 and fudged for a few answers, but no joy for the chief. So the chief went walking.
A bit of third person action there as well.
Third person himself. The chief.
It's a double banger.
As far as the chief's concerned, chip off and chip off.
So now we've got to the
It's a protest. It's a protest.
It's a not so solid protest. If you don't give me the blue car pass.
And see, what happens is normally I write my notes on the back of that blue pass. Right. I haven't got it. You know,
the golden trail has ended. Yes. Chiefs cut up rough.
That is it's a big correction in this box, though, isn't it? I mean, Juddy's just wandered in and has now assumed the mantle as the main man. Yeah. And very comfortably done it, too, Jim.
Yeah. And seamlessly.
Very comfortably
seamlessly.
Done it.
You blokes need to be careful because the chief doesn't go down the pecking order.
Nobody sits chief in the corner.
Well, I'm reminded of a significant on-air blue, and these were the things I used to love every week when the old enforcer was part of our commentary team, which is, what, got to be nearly 10 years ago now, didn't it?
He had a little stint about four years ago.
But yeah. When he was actually doing special comments as well as the Friday night rub or whatever, Friday night N-Sport or whatever it was, I used to do that with Sam, and then the chief would come in at 6 o'clock, and we'd then do the preview of the game after that. And if we had, for whatever reason, a guest drop out or just a quiet spot where we couldn't think of anything, we knew Chief would be driving into the ground. So we just started to openly strafe him, knowing that he had no ability to answer back. And the force absolutely loved it because he could bring out his full repertoire on the Chief, of course. Anyway, so one time we might have been a little too forceful and the Chief came in, he wasn't overly happy. And he basically just turned around at 6:01 and said to Sam, "Why don't you do us all a favour and actually die?"
On air.
On air.
On air.
He said, instead of just masquerading as a dead man, which you've been doing for 15 years, why don't you actually authentically pass away?
You're proud of that, Chief?
Absolutely. Yeah. Sometimes they go too far, Duke.
And that was the time when I knew that you just had to be careful around the Chief. There's a line you can't cross, Duke.
That's right.
Juddy's got to learn that.
You blokes leapt across it that night.
Well, I don't think we might have been. Well, it was Sam, to be in all fairness, wasn't it? It was Sam who went there.
Jim.
I nestled in behind him and got a nice rail on the Chief, but I was not out the front. That was the old enforcer. We just were talking before about Jesse Hogan and didn't get to finish that sentence or that discussion, Purple. In your heart of hearts, in 2018, is he going to be playing, or even 17, but certainly 18, going to be playing for the Melbourne Footy Club?
I think it's easy to answer if the 2018 part of it first, Jim. No, I don't. Not the way I'm hearing it now.
Really?
And I do think there is some doubt about 2017. And as we know, when we get into this trade space, we always preface the statements we make that things can change. But as I said before, both Perth clubs feel he is gettable and as such are making concerted bids to actually try and get him now.
So, because where the interest for me, Juddy, and you've been in this situation a few times, moving clubs, speculation-wise, is this guy's contracted for another year. So, by all rights, we should be hearing nothing about it until probably April, May next year, if he hasn't re-signed. But this talk's been going on now for 12 months.
Yeah, look, it has. And he's such a good player. I just don't see how he's getting traded this year. Whether or not it happens at the end of the year, but it does just seem to be constant news flow around people and players moving clubs. And you're right, in the old days, he had a contract. It was done. It was the end of his discussion until the year contract was up. But the landscape's changed a little bit. But I still think for a player as good as Jesse Hogan, I don't think Melbourne let him go a year before his contract's up.
When you talk about contracts too, Pierce Hanley signed a four-year deal at the start of last year. So he's one year into that four-year deal. His manager, Paul Connors, went public during the course of the week saying that if the right offer came around, he would look at it. So the contract, as we knew it once to be, is not what it now is. And whether that had changed on the back of the free agency and the power of the player to move it, it has totally changed. Tom Rockliffe, his teammate there at Brisbane Lions, Pierce Hanley, he's contracted too. He's actually been looking around himself. Yep. And as it stands, he has not got an offer that's attractive enough for him to leave. That can still change. There's still four teams alive in this season. If there is a nice offer for him to explore leaving Brisbane, he will and has been exploring it. So there's other things going on. The situation at Hawthorn is getting interesting now that that O'Meara has identified them, as he did now about 10 days ago, but they're still very comfortable and confident they're going to get in O'Meara, Vickery and Mitchell. Vickery will come as a free agent, so there's no giving up of draft picks there, Das, but there is the giving up of a significant salary cap space. Mitchell, yeah, the offer that the Swans have countered from the Hawthorn bid is of a nature that is nowhere near what he's currently on, Tom Mitchell. So he, again, we've been saying it now since about round 10, maybe even earlier. He is poised to be going to Hawthorn.
Only Hawthorn, Juddy?
Well, a little bit came across 5CJ Radio's desk. It's my own personal radio station, which has broken a couple of big stories this year. Purple, and I get
Travis
a bit nervous.
Cloak.
Travis Cloak,
Travis
the Bulldogs, Cloak. Was
you're the
broken
first one
on
to
5CJ very early
put,
on.
Put Bulldogs and Travis Cloak in the same sentence.
I think even Chris Fagan in Brisbane was put in there reasonably early. Jeez. But enough about me. Let's talk. Let's talk about Tom Mitchell. I just wouldn't be surprised if West Coast came for him late. He lived in Western Australia for quite a while when Barry was coaching at Fremantle. He's got some very good friends there. Played junior football with Claremont, the club you made famous, JB.
Exactly,
in the reserves.
I just think he would be a very good fit for them. I wouldn't be surprised if he came. And I know...
Jeez. The Chiefs' body language is not taken
well. It's cold. It's cold, isn't it?
I know nothing. I'm hoping Hawthorn can get him because I think he'd be a very handy pickup.
Is Luke Bruce the player that on the table for the O'Meara deal, Damo? Is that... your knowledge?
Wayne Carey went really strongly last Saturday rub, Dust. We got an immediate denial from the manager. He has spent the week denying it. Hawthorn hasn't said anything strongly, but they don't get engaged publicly in what they do. If it's not Luke Bruce, it will need to be at least him. Sorry, the calibre of him and I reckon even someone else for them to get all those three players in and to free up the space and also the draft picks and the trade-wise to get the quality of those three they're after in.
Did I not read something about Bruce manager coming out and saying nothing has been intimated from Hawthorn that he would be going anywhere?
He's been saying that all week.
So pretty much Duck dreamt it up one night, did he?
Duck? Yeah. We'll have to ask him.
No, he's adamant. No, he's not backing away from that from the manager and said...
sometimes dreams are very lifelike. I understand that.
The King said the manager would... Of course he would say that, but his mail, he's going with 100%. In fact, he's going with what Bruce was told the week before the final.
Because that's what you do to a player, isn't it?
Just to fire him up for the big game.
Wouldn't you do that?
It doesn't make a lot of sense,
makes a lot of sense.
Don't shoot the messenger.
I'm not shooting the messenger. I'm shooting the source.
There's a lot of interest in the GWS guys who can't get the regular games. Will Hoskin-Elliott. Collingwood has had its eyes on him for a long time. And
good
there's
player.
Nothing I'm hearing suggesting that he won't be at the Magpies next year. So, again, that'll play out over the next couple of weeks. Jack Steele has been reasonably strongly linked to St Kilda now for a good few weeks, and he too will be seeking opportunities elsewhere most likely. And Adam Tomlinson is contracted, as is Will Hoskin-Elliott, but he's contracted, has made public noises that he's happy there, but the clubs down in Melbourne still trying to ascertain whether he wants a future elsewhere are still believing that he's very gettable, Tomlinson.
Yeah, there was talk about Wellesley going to Collingwood. Now Geelong have entered the race.
Geelong has entered talks. The contract that's been put to him from a Collingwood perspective, Chief, the way I read it to be, it's $600,000 per year times three, which is very good money for Daniel Wells. And why that's exciting to North Melbourne too is... as much as they want to keep him, they're only offering him 2 years at far less money than that. They will, they believe, get a back of first round draft pick compensation for him should he accept an offer of that magnitude. That will cause some issues from other clubs thinking that's not fair. But
ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous. I think the whole compensation component to free agency just should be just gotten rid of straight away. We know they won't, but that's what I reckon. But yeah, Geelong has asked the question and we'll be in a clearer position to look at that future potentially with Wells once they...
See, 31 years of age, Daniel Wells, having played a handful of games in the past 2 or 3 years.
This year was okay. The previous two were ordinary.
That's an amazing, amazing tabled offer, isn't
it? Especially for where they're at as a club.
Yeah.
It's an interesting one.
Yeah, and Nick Del Santo will know more in the next week. He will know, I would think, in a week if he's going to be having an offer, as we will with Brent Harvey.
The thing with the compensation, Purple, and I, by the way, in principle agree with you, but when you're in 2016 involved in this, as North Melbourne will now be with Wellesley, were he to go to Collingwood, you've got to get your snout in that trough because everyone else has.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's you can say, well, yeah, I don't agree with it. But at the end of the day, if every other club's copping compensation picks and topping their list up on the back of it, then you got to do the same thing.
But it's ridiculous that the size of the contract has an impact on the compensation.
Couldn't agree with you anymore,
because
Chief.
If some club's dumb enough to pay overs for someone, the club that they're getting them from then gets a better compensation pick. and so they're double dumb.
I couldn't. I think it is something that they will have to address in the future, the commission, and work out a better system, because I couldn't agree with you anymore.
Yeah.
The other thing with the GWA, sorry, with the Gold Coast, going back to them, Damo.
Yes.
Prestia and O'Meara. I can't see how other clubs are going to be able, like Richmond and Hawthorn, are going to be able to satisfy them with players, because the issue is, let's say it is Luke Bruce, and I happen to believe that that's probably unlikely, but let's say it is, he's got to agree to go there.
Yeah, he does.
And if he doesn't, if he says, "Mate, there's no way I'm going to the Gold Coast," then they can't do it.
No, they can't. And particularly in his case, he's contracted.
Absolutely.
He doesn't have, like, the Hawthorn team doesn't have the luxury of just shipping him off. So,
but what's the history, Damon? Once clubs have declared that they aren't interested in players, very few turn around and go, "Hey, you know what? I don't care. I'm staying around and backing myself." Most get their noses sufficiently out of joint, don't they? That they,
The club has done that, but the club hasn't done that in this instance.
So it hasn't happened. The Bruce thing hasn't happened.
Well, look at the Chief.
Hang on. Did we not just make the statement that the club has said nothing and the manager said the club said nothing?
And then there was doubt about it.
You're making the assumption
that... I was throwing that as a hypothetical, but...
Yeah, and I just said in this instance that it hasn't happened.
So it hasn't happened, Chief.
Jeez. But once, was Duke here when we just had that discussion?
No, but I think he was. But
managers have been known to tell the occasional.
I was going to jump in. I mean, you get told so many things, Chief, and you've got to wade through what is actually right and what isn't.
But when the Chief jumps in and says that hasn't happened, and aggressively.
Emphatic, Chief.
In fact, nastily aggressive.
Yeah. No, not nastily aggressive at all. Just trying to state fact, that's all.
Juddy's upset you, now you're taking it out on me.
Juddy hasn't upset me. You're sounding more and more like Duck every moment that you keep going down this track, Duke, and that's fine.
I don't like you trying to drive a pole between me and the Chief either. We're just building a very strong rapport here in the back row.
As long as you've got a blue pass and he hasn't, there is no rapport going on there, Juddy. Let me tell you
very strong relationship building
what
back
you
here.
Just saw, Duke, is what your female silverback in the mist. When the Chief gets a real sense of it, right. Just get forward. He comes and yeah, she's just got to submit.
It was a
there can be no arguing with the big boy. He just leaned forward.
Come on,
and that's the end of it.
I was under siege. There was nowhere to go.
Brutal individual.
Shut up. The footies on Triple M.
Triple M rocks football.